This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, November 21st, Gillette Stadium. PFW boys are here to once again talk about the moves of the week. Dealing with the roster as the team prepares for a trip to what some are calling a must-win game against the Miami Dolphins this Sunday afternoon at Dolphin NOS Stadium in Miami. We'll start with the big news of the week. Rookie cornerback Terrence Wheatley, who had in recent weeks reportedly had surgery on his left wrist that he hurt against the Colts, was placed on injured reserve, and tight end Tyson DeVries, rookie free agent out of Colorado, was activated, put on the 53-man roster. The team also signed another rookie free agent, linebacker Darrell Robertson, who had played some in the CFL for a couple games with, I believe, the Edmonton
Eskimos.
Had been with the Cowboys in training camp and is now on the Patriots practice squad. But, Paul Perillo, I will start with you. Terrence Wheatley, injury to the secondary, goes on IR, and they call up a tight end. Why is that, sir?
Well, you'd have to ask Belichick specifically as to why, you know, he made the move that he did. But, you know, Wheatley had been just starting to emerge as a guy who got some playing time. Probably his most extensive playing time came in the game he got hurt.
Yeah.
I think it was 19 or 18 plays or something like that against Indianapolis.
And he had started that game.
So he wasn't a huge part. Yes. Wasn't a huge part of the defense up till that point. So
much so that we had questioned why he wasn't. Richardson had played, other guys had played, and we had, I can remember in the past, discussed why isn't your second-round pick getting some opportunities.
Yeah, I certainly think that that's part of it as to why he, you know, maybe you didn't really lose a core member of that rotation, so to speak. So I don't think you necessarily had to fill it with another cornerback or another secondary member, but you know, at the same time, I don't want to dismiss the injury. I think that he's a guy that, like you said, Andy, second-round pick, we all thought he had a strong training camp, felt like he was pushing for playing time. I thought he was going to start. I think you guys did, too, when they got rid of Fernando Bryant in the preseason. So I think it was a guy that it's too bad that you didn't get a chance to see the last half of his rookie season and see if he emerged somewhat similar to the way Brandon Merriweather did last year.
And from a fan's perspective, I think they're going to remember that he had a couple pass breakups in the game, his first start, and I think they're going to want to wonder what he could have been, and that, you know, I think it'll help him in the mind of fans heading into next season. I think there will be some expectations that he will be a guy who could make plays. I do want to point out it is the opposite wrist from the one
Good point.
Had a steel rod in his college days, actually had a titanium rod that broke, so he's played with issues with the right wrist, and now he had a procedure done on that left wrist and said he sort of knew how to deal with this because it's similar to what he had in college. So I wonder if he's
better or worse
that
it was a different wrist.
I'm not quite sure.
I don't know. But I'm just concerned overall at the position that they lost yet another guy. They were already thin to begin with, and they didn't refill the spot with someone else.
Now, we should mention that they signed Jason Webster 2 weeks ago, so they did bring in a guy who had experience in the system, who has already played, I would say, significant reps, mostly in nickel and dime situations in the slot there. He has seen some reps, and for as much as everyone has said, oh, the secondary's been banged up, you've pretty much had Ellis Hobbs and Delph O'Neal at corner, Brandon Merriweather and James Sanders at safety. You've had what is now your starting four on a consistent basis since Rodney Harrison went down. So to some degree, you've settled into what you might not like it, and you might not like the production.
Yeah,
but you've settled into what your secondary is.
Yeah, the thing I agree with that is we constantly see it referred to as the banged up patchwork secondary. It really isn't
patchwork, maybe, but well, patchwork it, starting it, when Asante Samuel went it, to the it, Eagles
I think,
last March.
I think subpar is a better word. I mean, these are the guys you started with. I mean, that was your choice.
Right.
I mean, you had five guys, and you've lost one, Rodney Harrison, out of your five guys. So, to me, that's what you came into the season with. That was the plan.
You go back further, you had Tank Williams in that mix, too, even though he was playing some middle linebacker early on. But it's just been an upheaval at the position. And I wonder at least, how long they're going to be able to keep this up before it really starts to hurt them.
Hasn't hurt them yet?
No, Not too badly. I mean, well, certain games like San Diego would hurt.
I think
him.
It's hurt him pretty badly.
And
I
mean, but it's also hurt him not so much just injuries, that they're not that good.
That's the point I'm trying to get to. Their pass defense has not been very good.
And I will say,
the worst of Belichick's
safety,
era,
they're
the
playing without a net because they don't have a back. I mean, Antoine
Spann is the only other guy back there.
The two
Mark
two-way
on the
guys,
practice squad.
Ray Ventrone or
Slater.
I mean, you don't have a lot there. You lost a lot of versatility, you know, in the secondary. So that's something to keep an eye on. DeVree, it'll be interesting to see how he's used, if he's active, if he's in multiple tight end sets, because they haven't done a lot of two tight ends lately. You know, last week Dave Thomas was sort of on the sideline to the point where we speculated maybe he got a little bit dinged up. Ben Watson had a breakout game for his purposes, eight catches, 88 yards, although he did have a costly fumble. So it'll be interesting to see how Tyson DeVree kind of fits in. We've seen that third tight end have a role before, Steven Spock and Fred Baxter and guys that come in late and do fill out a role.
And it helps that he's been with the team on the practice squad basically since camp. He was a rookie free agent over in the spring, and so he's familiar enough. It's not like he has to come in and hurry up and learn something.
Promote from within, the Bill Belichick way, whether it's the coaching staff, the playing roster, promote from within. I do want to go over the injury report real quick, as we always do on these roster reports. I'll start with the Dolphins. I'm done with the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins don't have any injuries. They do not list any players. Make of that what you will, whether it's true or whether they are playing these injury report games that so many franchises like to play. The Patriots have some injuries. Did not participate in practice. Eric Alexander, Lamont Jordan, Adalis Thomas.
They were all week. They were listed that way.
Jonathan Wilhite did not participate one day with flu-like symptoms, then was back off the list a day later. Vince Wilfork did not participate on Thursday. Non-injury related was the reason given for it. But the one guy I want to talk about is Lamont Jordan. We got Sammy Morris back, and maybe a month ago we were saying, okay, Lamont Jordan will be back, and then Sammy Morris a couple weeks after that. Lamont Jordan got on the practice field, then was back on the injury report, hasn't played. All we've seen from him is him sleeping on the locker room floor during open media period. You have to say at this point he suffered a setback, but is it to the point where you wonder, is he going to be back at all this year?
Well, they may not need him to come back. I think it would be nice to have that extra insurance policy, and you would think it by this point they might have made a decision on that already, given that they have other areas where they need to possibly fill in, like defensive back, as we talked about. So I think there's still a chance that he comes back, and they could certainly use the depth. They had that running rotation working all year where they just stick a guy in and he's gained 50, 60 yards at a clip, maybe even 100 sometimes. So be nice to have him. I think there's still a chance he does come back, especially as we get closer to playoffs.
It is a strange situation, though, Andy, because the way you described it was about a month ago that it looked like he was making some strides and starting to participate at least on a limited basis in practice. And around that time, Bill made the comment, it looks like he's a quick healer. And since that time, it's really gone the other direction. So I have to think that there was something that happened in terms of a setback in practice. You know, he aggravated whatever the injury is. It's listed as a calf. I don't know if that's a euphemism for a high ankle sprain or something else.
To feel like that.
Yeah, or a pulled muscle. I don't know what it is. But right from the time that Bill said it looks like he's a quick healer, it seems like it's gone in the other direction. And now I would say he has virtually no chance to play this week.
Right.
And now you're almost into December. I'm not sure what you're going to get out of him. Like Eric said, you know, how much do you, at this point, he's been gone so long, what can you expect to really get?
Yeah, he had never really established himself in any role as it was.
No.
He had limited success.
He had one
he had a previous injury.
Game.
But he had a previous injury before this one early in the year. I forgot whether that was a knee, I believe. But he had one game, he got hurt, then he was back, and then he got hurt again. And so he has yet to establish what he is on this team.
He played well against the Jets way, way, way back in week two. He ran the clock out in the second half, and that's when he made the pounding the rock with his pounding his fist into his open hand. And since that time, really, I don't think he's had five carries since.
Right.
The game that he played against San Francisco, a very limited appearance, and we just haven't seen him. I think we all think he can help this team, certainly if they have a lead in the second half. I think he'd be ideal, but I'm not sure how confident I am that he'll be able to do it.
Now, they clearly think he's going to come back to some degree, or he'd probably be on IR. So, you know, they must have some hope that he could be an asset down the stretch when maybe you can't necessarily count on a rookie free agent, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, down the course of the month in December. Bad weather, you might need a guy who can carry the ball 25 or 30 times. Maybe they think that's Jordan, or clearly Sammy Morris is back last week.
And along those lines, I think it's interesting that there still has not been a move made with Adalys Thomas.
Yep.
Given his situation with the arm.
I think they have four guys now that, are, in my opinion, are in that situation with Jordan that you just mentioned and Thomas that Eric just mentioned.
Eric Alexander.
You know, I'm wondering what the deal is. You know, how long can you wait for all these guys? Is it financial? Is it something that we don't know? But
and that's always an issue with teams at this point in the year when you start to – you plan for a certain amount of money for injuries and changes throughout the season. And if you're a good team, you do try to maximize the cap and use all your cap money. And you get near the end, and if you get a rash of injuries, then you start to run out of money in terms of refilling spots. So, you know, that could be a possibility. Or it could just legitimately be they think these guys will be around at some point come December – to help them win games, and that they want, they're valuable enough, they want them on the field. But right now, those guys aren't on the field, but the Patriots will be on the field at Dolphin Stadium this Sunday to take on Miami. And as I said, what even Wes Welker sort of alluded to as must-win type games. If they do not win this game, they will face a serious uphill battle in both the division and the conference to get to the postseason.
Word.
Word. That's going to do it for Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino. This is Andy Hart. And we will talk to you next Friday on a Patriots.com roster report.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.